Hello, and welcome back to another episode of your favorite political and satirical podcast. It's your boy, Day.
And I am David, and together we are Call Me Limbo.
Ow, ow.
Yes. This is episode 30, which I cannot believe. So it's like to get 30 episodes out in 52 weeks this year, I would consider that a success. It's more than half. So I think that I'm proud of us. I am very thankful for all of the people who have stuck with us this long. So thank you for listening out there. This will be released on the Friday before New Year's, 2024. It's exciting. Do you do resolutions?
Not really, but like there are things that I'm like, okay, what I assess the year maybe and just say like, these are the things I want to do better in. And I said, this year I decided I need to write them down, like write the plan down. I can't just sit, think them. I need to write them down and present them to someone else. So I guess maybe I have a good friend that's a good accountability person for me.
Okay. I like that. Yeah. I was like, my friend Jonathan every year always like literally will like handwrite his goals and like post them in a very like visible place that he sees every single day and like actively works toward them. And I was like, I'm always impressed because I'm like, he actually does work on these goals that he has for himself. Idea. Yeah. And so I was like, honestly, it's very cliche, but I was like, I got a Parks and Recreation pass for Christmas, which I'm very excited about, for the year.
Okay.
And so I was like, one of my resolutions actually is to start going and like working out again. They I'm excited because I'm like, Yes. Water. Here is the thing about water aerobics that I love is that I don't like to be sweaty. That's why I don't like working out. And so I was like, I am already wet in the swimming pool. Therefore, I don't feel sweaty. That's why I like that. But yeah, I was like, water aerobics, they have classes. And I was like, I need a commitment. Like, I can't just show up on a whim. Like, I actually need a commitment. So yes, that is my one resolution. And then, thank you. I haven't done anything yet. So check with me next week.
The thought alone is growth. So I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
We'll do check-ins on the podcast. Because I'm getting myself together too.
Where are they now? One week later. We'll see. Hopefully by this next, maybe by saying it out loud and having to report back next week,
right?
I will have been to the rec center at least once. Yeah. Well,
I was gonna say twice. I can start with one.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I was like, you're much better at
because technically we record. At the latest, we record on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So if they're closed on the first, then that gives you Tuesday, Wednesday. So that's why I'm like,
true,
one for this week.
Thank you. Yes. And you know what? I might even set the tone early and maybe I'll go this weekend before the actual new year.
And before all the people are there.
I need to check the class schedule. That too. Yeah. So then that way I can be one of the people who complains about, I just can't believe all these New Year's resolution people.
The funny thing is like, it just takes, 21 days to form a habit. So like most people drop off before then. So if you just set a plan and get through January, your likelihood of finishing is much higher now.
Mm-hmm. 21. Can you do something?
So no, I don't know. That's a good question then.
Yes. I also am, I don't know if I'm looking forward to this or not, or actually, maybe I'm looking forward to it, or it's just been an inevitable reality to start thinking a little bit more about federal politics, because I'm like, I can't believe that the presidential election is less than a year away. Like, we're going to start hearing a lot more about it. The primaries are going to be starting. And so I am looking forward a little bit to kind of plugging in and seeing like how that plays out, because I'm like, from what it seems is like the two front runners nobody wants. And so what's been really interesting to me is in the last like week and a half or so, Colorado The Colorado Supreme Court ruled that Donald Trump could not appear on Colorado primary ballots. There's an expected, like, U.S. Supreme Court challenge. And then, like, literally, like, 15 minutes before we started recording this episode, Maine just announced, their Secretary of State just announced that Trump will not appear on their primary ballots as well. Yeah. And so I'm curious what you think. Just what you think. I have a couple of thoughts myself, but I'm curious what you think.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. This whole issue has me torn. I will say that my initial impulse, and often my impulse when it comes to things like this, is we have to be careful how we do it. Because once it starts, it won't stop, and it will continue when it's the people that you want that are in office or don't want. Them doing the same attacks. I mean, if we look at, you know, the whole Russiagate situation, and then we'd have January 6th election deniers. And I said, so now it's just a cycle of it didn't even happen. We didn't even really win. They didn't really win the election. That's a scary place to be in for a democracy. And while, yes, this is a political situation, and why, yes, I can't. I'm not one of those people that's like, well, you didn't do it before. I mean, because you could do it from people before. I don't mind that. I don't think that absolves people from doing it moving forward. However, in this instance specifically, it is in the Constitution, based on how the situation was litigated from January 6th. It does, on a plain, you know, plain Jane reading of it, fit and make sense. Is there a political motive behind it? I'm sure. But I have to respect that it should go through the legal process. I said what I think is most depressing is that I don't think that the court is unbiased. And so I was like, because had it been an unbiased court, I would be really eager to hear a genuine good faith, like, what is the decision and what was the dissent? But we already kind of know what the most likely outcome is. Of course, there's still a chance. But so, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm just like, hey, we can do that. It's this. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. It's part of the law. So if you're upset about the law, then that should just be, you need to vie for an amendment, like, or advocate for an amendment. And, you know, like a lot of originalists, fundamentalists, when it comes to just the originalist text, the text says this, you can't do anything else. It's like, well, you can't really be mad unless you're arguing that what January 6th wasn't an insurrection. But then you also need to argue a whole bunch of other points that many people aren't arguing. So, yeah, I think I hate to see it. This is what I'll say in closing. While this is happening, I hate that almost zero coverage is going to the fact that the Democratic Party in each state is working actively to ensure that the other candidates going against Joe Biden aren't on the ballot. That pisses me off. So it's like you want to put this veneer up of democracy and we care about the rule of law, et cetera, while you actively suppress the voters, the voices of other candidates that deserve and honestly would outdo Joe Biden in a primary. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on that.
Yeah, talk more about that, because I've heard a little bit about Florida. Mm-hmm. It's always Florida. But no, I've heard a little bit about Florida and their like primary process and stuff like that. But like, I'm curious, because I have not been following it that closely, to be honest. So I'm curious, like, what is going on? Because I have heard that the Democratic Party is trying to sort of adjust the rules or use the rules to like give Biden an advantage while like not letting the other candidates appear. Like, I don't really understand. Like, tell me what's going on.
All the candidates are running into access, quote unquote, issues. So of course, Joe Biden was left off of the New Hampshire primary ballot. That was decided a while back ago. There is currently a write-in campaign for him, which is wild, but that's so essentially Dean Phillips, Marianne Williamson, and Cenk all have roadblocks in Tennessee, Florida, North Carolina, and Massachusetts. Essentially, they're saying without any evidence or proof, they have just been left out. And the process has been done, but it's only been done to include Joe Biden. Of course, every state denies it. Oh, no. Well, we had everything is standard practice. We had everything They said it's standard practice to only include the incumbent, you know, BS. That really isn't a thing. It's a thing that they're deciding to do because they know how unpopular Joe Biden is. And it's ugly because like states will say, oh, well, you know, the things have been on the website for forever, or, you know, they've been up there for a while and we just didn't hear anything from people. And it's a lie because especially like Marianne Williamson campaign, I believe they said reportedly it was like September, like they had been trying to reach out from Florida and they've been unresponsive. And there have been other allegations where the state parties are supposed to be granting information or granting access to things, and they just delay it, don't do it, et cetera. And so they pretty much waited to like the day before almost to say, oh, we're just going to submit Joe Biden tomorrow. And that's it. It's literally like just like disgustingly brazen. And that's why I'm so upset. This is actually an instance where I wish Fox News would pick it up or somebody, some party, some outlet with enough power to make it a thing. And yeah, it's kind of shameful that they aren't and that nothing is being done about it because it just makes you feel powerless in the situation. They're pretty much just trying to say either it's through a technical aspect or if it's through a, we just, it's customary and standard for us to just include the incumbent. They're just incumbent. They're just acting like it is what it is. And the DNC, of course, is like, oh, we don't oversee ballot access. That's through the states and the state laws. You know, they have to just complete whatever requirements it is from that state stuff. And it's like, I think one thing that I hate is like, don't pee on my leg and say it's raining. Like, stuff like that bothers me. And it's pretty much the gaslighting that's happening now. Like, it's pretty obvious that the states are doing something. I mean, there have been reports from people who've been at the meetings where these people are like, no, we're only going to put Joe Biden, knowing that he has challengers, because yeah, you got to be a team player. I don't know if you've read the things they've said about Dean Phillips. Like, they, the congressional members, like the Congress, his former Congress members, I think he might be, I don't know if he's technically done yet, but he's not running for re-election. Oh, but they're throwing everything at him. You know, he's ruined his reputation. You know what? This makes me question if he's even a real Democrat. And all of this type of tomfoolery where it's like, you people are in a cult. Like, you're not concerned with the well-being and the welfare of the American people. You're simply concerned about being a unit, being a block, and anything else be danged. And it's really sad to me because you guys are upholding a horribly weak candidate who's not offering to do anything better if he gets elected. I said the lesson of 2020 should have been, which I was, people were arguing at the time, defeating Trump is only the first step in a series of processes, or a series of procedures. The other steps require legislating and doing the things that would undo bad policy and replace it with good policy that materially can change the well-being of American people, whether that be free healthcare, at free education, tuition, and everything at colleges, whether it's addressing the climate crisis, whether it's dealing with some form of university basic income, anything like that. If you're not going to do that, then you never eradicated the roots that branched up to turn into Donald Trump. But in many of their minds, they've just been taught from MSNBC and other news networks, allegedly, that all that Trump is the problem, and that there's nothing under it. It's just racism, sexism, homophobia, as if that doesn't exist in both parties. This clearly has to be something deeper, but they're not willing to wrestle with that. So I hate it.
I think Trump is a problem. I don't know if he's like the only problem. As you were talking, I was just sitting here like, cook, like, let him cook. I was like, I'm just sitting here taking it all in. Yeah.
This really pisses me off. So,
yeah, no, it's interesting though, too, because I'm like, as we talk about like threats to democracy, little d democracy, I'm thinking about like what the Democrats are doing by eliminating choices during their primary process. And even with Donald Trump, the like, for all intents and purposes, the leading candidate in the Republican Party not being on the ballot, I was like, I think both of these things can be true at the same time, right? Like, I think that the Colorado Supreme Court probably made the correct legal decision in regards to their interpretation of the 14th Amendment and this like clause around insurrection. And I think that it can also be a threat to democracy by, and so I was like, I would, trust me, I wish that like our top two contenders were not Trump and Biden. I was watching, well, earlier today, I was in a place that had on MSNBC in the background, and there was, it was like Nikki Haley all day was the topic. And I was, and I said to the people who I was with, I said, I was like, you know, what's really interesting is Nikki Haley is polling pretty much the same against Trump as Marianne Williamson is against Biden. And all of the like news elite, well, I shouldn't say all, this one news outlet, MSNBC, was like talking about her literally all day long. But I
crazy, right?
Yes, but I don't think I've ever seen any coverage of Marianne Williamson. And so I was like, it's also really interesting, too, when I see, like, I love trolling a comment section. You know this. I love staying in the comment sections online. But what's interesting is so many people, especially with the what's going on over in the Middle East and in Palestine.
Yeah.
And the active genocide that is going on there. What is really interesting to see comments on these videos and just updates, because the mainstream outlets are not covering it. And if they are, they're giving us like pro-Israel propaganda. And yes, what's been really interesting is looking at the comments on many of these Israel-Palestine videos is so many people saying like, well, what's our other choice like between Biden and Trump? And I'm like, we have plenty of choices in both parties. And so it's a little frustrating to, I'm like, what are our options and how are they being presented to us?
Yeah. I mean, in the Democratic Party, it just doesn't exist, which is wild because not only Nikki Haley is polling pretty much similarly to Marianne Williamson in respect to the incumbent and the former president, Vivek Ramaswamy got a town hall on CNN or one of those places. And it's like, he's polling worse than Marianne. So it's kind of like odd. Hell, Marianne is polling higher than Dean Phillips, who is a congressperson. Yeah. Yet they have all this enthusiasm for Nikki's 14% and then silence for Marianne Williamson. And it shows you, they say what is most interesting about news is not what they cover, but what they choose not to cover.
Yep.
And I think that's been the most gross thing. And I don't know if you've seen one of her recent fundraising videos talking about the cost of ballot access and fighting all of this stuff is so expensive.
Sure.
That it's like, when you need to actually buy ads and billboards and do that stuff, that's its own separate pool of money. And it's like, if we don't get the money to do that and all we are on the ballot, we still are fighting an uphill battle because people need to know. Like when she's out and about, you see the standing ovations. I've been in rooms where people didn't know who she was. She came and did her speech and people were converted. I've seen that multiple times. But again, people have to know that she's an option, especially when where they go to quote unquote learn their news, they all pretend that she doesn't exist so that people are lulled into this sense of sleep. Because the fact that people want a new person is kind of like, wow, like they're actively seeking that out. So the fact that the Democratic Party can quietly just make that look like it doesn't happen while there is that, there are people there, and then they can also at the same time be gung-ho about prosecuting Trump to take him off the ballot. It's crazy to me, like genuinely narcissistic, sociopathic behavior, almost, in my opinion.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see how it will all play out. It should be.
It'll be 2024. It'll be interesting, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, I'm excited to like start paying a little bit more attention to that too, especially like when I think about local issues. And this can kind of maybe get to like something that we want to talk about too, about like CML awards, like who, if we wanted to like highlight certain people or things from 2023 as we go into the new year. But like, I'm thinking about like the city and county of Denver has supported over 30,000 migrants or refugees just this year alone. And I would consider that to be a huge humanitarian win for the city. And what's been really interesting is like we have as a city have received very, very minimal like pennies compared to the actual cost in financial support from the federal government. And so, yeah. And so I'm like, here we are as a city who's supposed to have like a balanced budget, not being able to care for not only the people who have been here, but also many of our new arrivals. And so all of this, like to say too, that like, I am proud of the city for like stepping up. Like I also just saw an article today that said like the mayor will have achieved his goal of sheltering or getting people indoor shelter, 1,000 people indoor shelter since he took office in July. So I was like, I'd consider that a success. I don't know about like the length of time these people have stayed housed, if they have stayed housed. But the citywide propaganda is that 1,000 people have been housed. And so I don't know. I think that that's pretty exciting. And yeah. So I would consider that a win.
A CML humanitarian award goes to
that's right. The city and county of Denver.
I think if I were giving out a CML awards, of course, all the patrons just to me get a CML award for just being incredible and helping
lifetime
out.
Achievement awards. I think exactly. I will say it.
Mm-hmm. I would actually maybe give mine to Crystal Ball, the political pundit on Breaking Points, and Crystal Collin Friends. And the reason I'm going to give it is for her, to her specifically for the year, is that when it came to this Israel-Palestine conflict, Crystal has been 10 toes down when it comes to standing on the truth, calling out the propaganda, calling out the atrocious response to October, the disproportionate response to October 7th that's being levied onto Gaza. She was fine with acknowledging the atrocity of October 7th. But more importantly, she has gone out boldly and had many contentious interviews with people from left and right and holding their feet to the fire when it comes to this issue. And this is an issue that, unfortunately, I would say in the prior years could definitely get you canceled. I think now it's a little more, it's interesting now how people are navigating it. But to be unwavering in that and take all the you must be anti-Semitic, you must be love Hamas, you must this, which is of course all lies. That's brave to me. I've seen so many people that I admire cave and not say anything, not call for a ceasefire, not, you know, talk about the thousands and thousands and thousands of people that have been slaughtered. And so to me, that showed journalistic integrity and bravery. So that would be my CML award for this year.
Like that. The CML Excellence in Journalism Award.
Yes.
Crystal Ball. Yes. I love that. Any other awards that we should give out? I would like to give out an award to our unofficial publicist.
Yes.
When we were like really nervous to launch our first episode, my gosh, we had practiced recording, like played around with ideas for probably 6 months before we even released the first episode and like shared it with someone. And we shared it with a few people. One of those people was Imani Oakley. And Imani believed in us enough and thought that it was good enough that she posted the link to her Twitter. And we're like, you know what? If Imani thinks we're good enough to launch, we are. And like, honestly, we had joked, like just the two of us for a while, that Imani was our unpaid publicist.
Yeah, like had she not done that, we still might be sitting here.
Yes, we wouldn't have 30 episodes. And it's been really interesting too to like go back and listen to some of the first ones and like what I liked, what I would maybe see us do a little differently. But like, we wouldn't be where we are now if it wasn't for people like Case Study QB giving us a platform to just like open up and talk and practice our political orator skills. And people like Imani, who like, honestly, like, you're right. I don't know if I would have had the courage to like put it out there without an external push. So Imani, thank you. Yeah.
Yes. For those who didn't catch, sorry. So when we were sending it to people to listen, they weren't supposed to share it. And so that's what made it so funny is that she did, but it turned out being a great thing. So I do want to give another award you made me remember. So yeah. I want to call this the CML Real One Award, and that goes to Case Study QB. Mm. I would say he's a real one because one, this man watches countless hours of television that spans the political spectrum, which in and of itself is daunting. I don't know how he does it. But also, he's a person, his public image and his private image are so seamless. He's just as kind, firm, creative, and inspiring online as he is in person. He's truly one of the most encouraging people that we've met, I think, in like the political pundit sphere. So I definitely want to give him an award just because he did give us a platform when he really didn't have to. He was our first person. He was open to being interviewed and share information on and off camera with us about this space that we call politics. And not everybody does that. And he's super busy with all the things that he does. So the fact that he would take that time out is truly something I appreciate and treasure. So the CML Real One Award goes to, well, maybe, I don't know if we should call it the Friend of Phoebe Award.
The Friend of Phoebe. Yes, I like that. Phoebe's my leftist cap for those of you who don't know. Phoebe also sent out holiday cards this year that said, it's the most wonderful time of the year to overthrow capitalism.
Yes.
Yeah, so she's in the holiday spirit as well. But yes, Friend of Phoebe Award. I love that.
Yes,
I love that. You also made me think of two other people too. Like we can come up with an award title after this, but like I was just thinking too about the two councilwomen here that I have had the chance to start working with a little bit more, especially during like the 2024 budget development process, Councilwoman Chantel Lewis and Councilwoman at Large Sarah Parody, and the two of them for like making me feel like a part of their extended team, to be able to get involved in municipal politics in a way that feels meaningful. And I'm really grateful, for that. So, maybe the Community Inclusion Award, making me feel part of a community award, goes to, Councilwomen Lewis and Parody here in Denver. So,
I love that. And big shout out to Mark. For those of you who've been with us the whole time, Mark was super great. He worked with us for a period of time when it comes to our social media, marketing, our logos, and things like that. Big shout out to the creator of the intro music.
Yes, Aiden Ivory Edwards. Yes, Aiden.
Yes, thank you so much for that. Honestly, I'm just excited to, I feel like this year was laying a foundation and really getting clear on what this show is, what interests us, what interests people in terms of listens, et cetera. And this next year is just taking all of that and elevating it. And I'm really excited.
I am too. And and like my like ultimate award would go to you for continuing to show up and do this with me. It's always fun to like, I don't know, it's something that I look forward to. Now I've always looked forward to chatting with you, but this is something like weekly now that I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is intentional time that I get to spend with Aiden catching up a little bit and kind of talking about politics and having a few laughs along the way. So Sometimes, no, yeah. Sometimes we're laughing at systems. Sometimes we're laughing at
ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, but no, next year, I know that we have talked. We want to bring back more ads. We want to bring in more guests. So, yeah, I think we're finding our rhythm, too. So, yeah.
And it's a busy year next year. So it's the
perfect
time. That's
true. And, you know, busy is my personality now.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Like I always say, busy is my personality. So, yes.
Well, I think this is a great place to wrap. Before we do, just want to wish everybody a happy holidays. Happy New Year to you. For everyone in the States, that's coming up soon. And yeah, please stick with us. We really appreciate it. Share it with a friend, share it with a frenemy, and just share it on your socials and let people know that there are these two crazy guys who like to talk about politics in a fun, funny, relatable way. And if you'd like to support.
That's right. You can support us by rating us 5 stars on your platform of choice. You can also connect with us on social media, on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads. I guess it's called X now, not Twitter, but same thing. At Call Me Limbo Pod. And you can support the show financially, Venmo, Cash App, and Patreon at Call Me Limbo Pod. And I got her permission to use her full name before this. It's like my friend Lindsay Tallman never says, we're all just fossils walking around with souls.
I'm going to take that. That's a great closing spot, because I think 2023 left a lot of people feeling real hollow. So
we'll go actually, yeah, thanks though. Yes, I agree.
I love it. Well, yes. Again, it's your boy Day.
And I'm David. And remember, when they go low,
we go to hell. So call us limbo.
Bye.
Bye.